This message today is entitled, Don't Block My Harvest. Your harvest can be blocked. But the principle of sowing and reaping that is taught in Scripture reveals to you and I the nature of God. God reveals himself by what he does and by what he creates. Now think about that. He reveals himself by what he does and by what he creates. Now what did he do? He gave us his only begotten son, born into this world. That's what God did. He went to the cross, died for our sins. All of these, you know, these things, and of course, ultimately, of what Christ did at the cross reveals the very nature of God. And what is that nature? Well, Christ revealed it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So sowing and reaping reveals God's goodness and also his generosity. It is his desire to reward us. I quote this verse all the time. Hebrews 11:6. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards those who seek him. It's in his nature. It's in his very goodness and his very nature, his very character. That's why the Bible says that his loving kindness is better than life. It's better than life. It's in his nature. It is God's nature to bless, and he wants to bless us. It is his purpose that our lives reap a harvest and produce fruit. And the fruit that it produces, my friends, is a direct result of our choices, our actions, our words, and our thoughts. All of those things contribute to the fruit that our lives produce. And the word of God is very clear. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Let's visit it in the word of God. It's found in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That, my friends, is a promise. Now, there is a phrase that's thrown around in our culture called karma. Anybody familiar with that phrase? Well, it's a New Age phrase. It's not a biblical phrase, but it's a New Age phrase. They call it karma. That it's kind of the philosophy of whatever goes around comes around. Now, in God's realm of sowing and reaping, it's different. You know, because God brings us into the spirit realm of his very life. And the principle, you see, sowing and reaping is a principle that originated with God. It is God's idea. He's the one who did it. And that's why it is such a viable principle to understand. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, in the idea or the philosophy that's in the culture, you know, about karma, you know, it believes that things happen in the spirit world that generate that. Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things going on in the spirit world, but we want to talk about what's going on in God's world. Amen. Amen. And how God does it. And the principle of sowing and reaping. And that there is a harvest, and he says so right here, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we must keep doing good, keep sowing, keep investing, because understand this. Here's the first truth I want to sow into your spirit today. Your life is intended to reap a spiritual harvest. God wants you, my friends, to reap a spiritual harvest. Now, so many times when we hear teachings about sowing and reaping, most of the time it's related to finances. And, you know, if you want to reap a harvest, you plant a seed. And it definitely has that application, there's no doubt. You know, because Jesus taught us, you know, the principle of giving and the principle of generosity. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians in just a minute. You know, and it also talks about God loves a cheerful giver. So there's no doubt that it has that application. But it goes much, much deeper than that. See, that's just one category of it. That's just one area of it. The principle of sowing and reaping and the principle of reaping a harvest, my friends, is so widespread. I mean, it is very broad. So we must define it. Your life is intended to reap a spiritual harvest. But we have to define that. What is a spiritual harvest? What does that look like? Now, keep in mind what I said in the introduction today. It is God's purpose that our lives reap a harvest and produce fruit. God wants your life. He wants my life to produce something. I've heard a Bible teacher say this. He said that the graveyards, the cemeteries, he said they are the most richest place in all of the world. And he goes on to say this, because of all of the unused gifts and investments that were buried into a cemetery without ever fulfilling their purpose, without ever coming to fruition. I think there is a lot of truth to that. Because today people are either living a productive life or they are living a dead life. Amen? A wasted life. I don't want to live a wasted life. It is God's purpose that we produce something. He wants us to reap a harvest and produce. So your life is intended to reap a spiritual harvest. So what is it? How do we define it? Well, here's the first thing. First of all, it is a metaphor for spiritual growth and health. Every one of us should ask ourselves, am I growing? Am I developing as a person? Am I becoming more conformed to the image of Christ? Am I developing more? Is my spiritual life growing? Am I healthy? Is my life healthy? Spiritual life. Do you know the Bible tells us, teaches us in the book of Proverbs, that the condition of one's spirit can actually sustain them in times of sickness? That you can be strong and healthy in your spirit, and that it can literally get you through sickness and disease. There's something very, very powerful about that. You know, health, spiritual growth and health. What is spiritual harvest? First of all, it is a metaphor for that growth and for our spiritual health. Check this out in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Word of God says this. This is a great verse. Listen to what it says. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He goes on and he says, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Thanksgiving, it causes us to thank God and to praise God. What is he talking about? He's talking about the operation of God in our lives. He's talking about being enriched in all things. He's talking about the principle of sowing and reaping. Thank God. I don't want anything to block my harvest. And there are things that can block our harvest. People can block our harvest. We can block our harvest. Amen. But God wants to loose it by the principle of sowing and reaping. I want you to notice this verse, because he talks about increasing the fruit of righteousness. Notice what he says. It says that God supplies seed to the sower. He multiplies the seed. He multiplies what is sown, and he increases it. He supplies it. He multiplies it. and he increases it. Do y'all see that? See, that's an operation of God's grace right there. Because if he supplies it, that's grace. Hello, somebody. Amen. If he supplies it, then that's grace. All right, salvation. Take, for example, salvation. Can you save yourself? Can we save ourselves? No. So what does God do? He provides it. Amen. Are y'all still with me? He provides it. So that's why the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. That's the operation of his grace. Hallelujah. It is God, my friends. And notice how his grace is connected here to this principle of sowing and reaping. He supplies, he multiplies, and he increases the fruits of your righteousness. Hallelujah. He increases it. I love this word increase. This word increase, it means to grow, to enlarge, to give increase. It is, listen to this. It is the effect of the work of God according to the analogy of his operation in nature. And if you go through the scripture, you will find example after example of farming techniques and farming principles. You know, that's why Jesus said Luke 6:36-38, when Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure out, sowing and reaping, it shall be measured back to you. He was talking in farming terms there. When he said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, it was in reference to the principle of farming. When they would reap the harvest, then it would, you know, it was, it's like when you get a box of cereal at the store, you know, and you open that box of cereal and it's got about that much airspace from the product. Don't you feel like you've been gypped? Right? Feel like you've been gypped, you know, but it's measured in weight, not by quantity. God measures differently than that. So when they would harvest, they would shake it so it would settle to the bottom. You know, the produce, you know, the wheat, you know, all the just whatever dynamic of farming we would apply to this concept. You know, they would shake it up. They would move it around so that it would settle down. It would get compacted so that more can be received. That's how God thinks. That's why Jesus taught that. Give and it will be given to you. Principle of sowing and reaping. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together. They would press it down. They would shake it. Then you would have that room for more in that cereal box. Amen. That's kind of the idea there. You know, this is how God thinks. You know, it's all based upon enlarging, increasing. The effect of the work of God, the operation of his grace. So what is spiritual harvest? It is a metaphor for spiritual growth and health. Secondly, it is a time to reap the fruit of what is sown. To reap the fruit of what is sown. I love the statement in the book of Genesis. When God said in the beginning, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. It shall not cease. You and I, when we sow something, it may not come back to us when we think it should. It may not return to us when we think it should. It might sometimes take a while. But know this, my friends, that there is going to be a time when the harvest is reaped. Because there is a time to reap the fruit of what is sown. You might be sowing and sowing and sowing and saying, God, where is my harvest? I've been sowing and sowing and sowing and nothing. Where's my harvest? What do you do? Well, what did Galatians 6 tell us to do? It says, don't stop sowing. It said, don't stop doing good. For in due season, at the appointed time, it's coming back. At the appointed time, it's coming to you. Amen. Now, spiritual harvest. A time to reap the fruit of what is sown. That's what it is. Here's a third thing. It is a symbol of bounty, health, and abundance. Now we're about to celebrate Thanksgiving. And then we'll celebrate Christmas. In the Israelites in the Old Testament, they had three major annual festivals. And one was the fruit of harvest, what is called the Feast of Harvest. And it was the first fruits of their labor, you know, of what they had sown, what they had planted. Again, farming technology, farming ideas, farming concepts. They didn't have much technology back then. They had to do it the old-fashioned way. Amen? But they still reaped. They planted, and then they reaped. Listen to what this says in the book of Exodus. It says, "In the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field." All right, the Feast of Harvest, and he said it's the first fruits of your labor. All right, what does that mean? Okay, when they would plant and they would reap a harvest, then the top portion was dedicated to God. You know, in the animal, you know, for sacrifice, same thing. They wouldn't take the blemished animals, the ones that had defects. No, it had to be the choice. The best. They gave God the very best because it was acknowledgement. So in the Feast of Harvest, they brought him the first fruits. They dedicated it to God. He said, "The Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field." It was an acknowledgement. That's why we always say this. You know, why do we teach the principle of giving in the church? Why do we teach the principle of tithing? It's not so the church can have more money, because, my friends, there's never enough money. There's never enough money to pay our bills. We could always use more, right? Life is expensive. Amen? Life is expensive. Living is expensive. Cars are expensive. Insurance is expensive. Food is expensive. It's all very costly. So we teach the principles of giving and the principles of tithing for this very reason, because it is an acknowledgement of harvest. Because remember what we read in 2 Corinthians 9. God provides seed. He provides it. He multiplies it. He increases it. So what they would do when it was time, they sowed and sowed and sowed and sowed. But when it was time to reap, then the top of the harvest was presented to God as an acknowledgement. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge your blessing, your favor, your provision. We realize that we only have this because of your provision. Now think of this. In the Old Testament, when things got bad and they went through hard times, again, when there was no harvest, guess what the people began to do? They began to repent. They cried out to God. They said, "Lord, what have we done? Why is it?" Because remember, it's in God's nature to bless and to give and to provide everything that is needed. That's in his nature to do that, because he is a rewarder. He is good. He is generous. So whenever that didn't happen, well, then they immediately began to examine themselves. God, what's going on here? They would repent. The Bible says they would clothe themselves in sackcloth and ashes. And, you know, it was a time of mourning, and because they were used to reaping, because that's how God's system works. It was a symbol of bounty, health, and abundance. What is spiritual harvest? Metaphor for spiritual growth and health. A time to reap the fruit of what is sown. A symbol of bounty, health, and abundance. Number four, it is a harvest of lost people coming to Christ. So there is a harvest of people that are going to come to Jesus Christ, and God needs somebody to bring them in. Did y'all catch that one? That's a powerful. How about in our own families? How about in our own homes? There's a harvest. There's a harvest to be reaped. A harvest of lost people coming to Christ. In the early service today, I was just talking to a young lady that I recognized her from Lowe's, because, you know, I'm in those places all the time. You know, I do a lot of construction work around here at the church. I'm glad I got my 17-year-old son now, because now we're making him do it. But we're blessing him too. Amen. So he's doing a lot of it now. But Becky fusses at me last year. You know, we had the plumbing problem. I'm so glad we got that rectified with the nice Calvin Klein fragrance that was running throughout the building. And, you know, I'm so glad we got that problem rectified. And right before Christmas, I'm in there. I'm doing the drywall. Had to open up walls in the restrooms. Had to cut everything open to try to find these problems. And I'm putting it all back together. I'm taping it. I'm floating it. And she says, "Why are you doing all of that? Why don't you hire somebody to do that?" I said, "Well, that's $1,600 I can use somewhere else." You know, that's the kind of the way I look at it, which she's right. You know, because my main focus should be and is the Word of God. My main focus is giving myself to the Word and prayer. So all of you guys, when y'all see me out here sweating, don't let me do it. Y'all come do something. Hallelujah. A harvest of lost people coming to Christ. There are people that God has destined to be saved, to come to faith in Christ. And you and I are the vehicle that he wants to use. We are the vessels that he is going to use to reap that harvest. This is a spiritual harvest. Your sons and your daughters is your spiritual harvest. Husbands and wives, spiritual harvest. Brothers and sisters, spiritual harvest. Amen. Co-workers, spiritual harvest. See, it's all, when we talk about spiritual harvest, it's very broad. It's not just one area. It's not just in the realm of God meeting all our needs and giving us money to pay the bills. It goes beyond all of that. You know, it is about the condition of your spirit, my friends. It's about what's going on the inside of you. Here's a fifth thing on this. Your life is intended to reap a harvest. And what is a spiritual harvest? Here's number five. Spiritual harvest is the inward work of God in the heart that produces fruit. When God is working on the inside of you, your life is going to show it. It's going to produce something. If there's no work of God going on inside of you, then my friends, you need to get to the altar. You need to get in the presence of God. Find out, man, what's going on? Have I drifted? Have I walked away? Is something taking my time? Is something taking my focus? Because we must focus. Jesus said it over and over again. Take heed to yourselves. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says, "Watch ye therefore, pray always." He gave us those admonitions. Because it's so easy to drift. It's so easy to backtrack. So easy to slide away. I love what the Bible says in Psalms 1. Psalms 1, one of my favorites. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in Facebook and Instagram." What are some of the others? "And in Facebook he meditates day and night." No, don't, wait. No, that's a misprint. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means the book. It means the Word of God. It means the Bible. His delight is in his law. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Brings forth, look at this, brings forth its fruit in its season. Why don't you hit your neighbor and say, "It's going to be my season. It's going to be my season." Hallelujah. How many of y'all know it could be the saint's season? Right? Could be the saint's season. Oh, I got y'all alive now. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's going to be my season. He said he'll meditate day and night. He's like a tree. He's going to bring forth fruit in his season. Whose leaf, I love this, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Spiritual harvest, my friend, is the inward work. When you get that word of God on the inside of you, I love the very meaning of the word grace, because it literally means divine operation upon the heart. See, people need a heart operation. And when you have a divine operation on the heart, my friends, the spiritual harvest is the result of that, because your life is going to reflect his touch. It's going to reflect his work. It's going to reflect what he is doing inside of you. Hallelujah. We see it right here. It's like a tree planted by the rivers of water brings forth its fruit, and its leaf doesn't wither. As a lot of people have, their leaf is withered. You know, they look mean, unhappy. There are so many unhappy people in the world. They so desperately need the joy of the Lord. You know, I go into stores and places, and before I even meet somebody, it's like they're already mad at me. I'm like, now, Lord, I haven't said a word that even come out of my mouth. And why am I getting such an ugly disposition? Anybody ever been? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, our world is full of a lot of people that they don't have what we're talking about here today. They don't have this dynamic of spiritual harvest because they are bound in their soul. And that kind of leads me to the next thing here, because we're going to talk about things that can block harvest. Things that are rooted within us can block our harvest. Here's a verse of scripture that we need to really consider, and we need to pray over it, because it is a searching verse. And we find it in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Let me just kind of put the context in this, because what this is really talking about, this is talking about renewal. When somebody is renewing their spiritual vitality, that is a person who is reaping. They are reaping what God has for them. They are reaping his blessings. They are reaping his favor. They are reaping his provision. But there are things that can block that harvest. So he says this, make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame, that's verse 13, Hebrews 12, 13. So that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So there are some areas of our life where we can be dislocated. People come to church out of dislocation. There's things in their lives that are dislocated. Things in their lives that, are causing them to see their need of God. That they have a need of putting life back together. And the first step is realizing that they can't do it by themselves. Amen. They don't have that kind of ability. They don't have that kind of power. So people come into local churches because of the dislocation. Things are dislocated in their life. Husband left the family. Wife left the family. Alcoholism came in. Drug addiction came in. I mean, whatever. I mean, we could list a list of things that happen that people have to contend with. Things that are dislocating people's lives. And the Bible says that God's will is to see those things healed. Then he says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Then here's the verse I want you to get. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, Titus said this. He said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and evil fleshly lusts, which war against our soul. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. How has it appeared? 2,000 years ago when Christ went to the cross, grace of God appeared. God raised him from the dead. Grace of God appeared. Preaching of the gospel has been going on ever since that moment. Grace of God appeared. Amen. The grace of God has been declared through the very person of Jesus Christ. And he's the only one, my friends. He is the only one. He's the only one that can heal people's lives. He's the only one that can fix the dislocation. He's the only one that can do it. And that's why Jesus said in John 14:6, when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Now I know in this world where they tell us many paths lead to God. Shut up, devil. Many religions lead to God. Shut up, devil. That's what the world's telling us. You can believe whatever you want and you'll find your way to God. Shut up, devil. Because that's the devil's voice. We need to learn to know the devil's voice and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the devil's voice. Because the voice of the Holy Spirit says there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. That's the only way. And even Jesus talked about it. He said, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, trying to get in some other way. He said, but I am the door of the sheep. He said, the sheep hear my voice. And he said, and they come in. He said, and when they come in, he said, they find pasture. What does that mean? A harvest. A harvest. They find pasture. I mean, what a sheep. What is the main work of sheep? Eat. Right? They want to eat. They want to eat green grass. I think that's what they eat. Right? But he said they'll find pasture. In other words, they will be satisfied. Their need will be satisfied. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy our need. He's the only one. And thank God, we do it by spiritual harvest. So he says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. See, that's why you got to pray over that. You got to pray over that verse. Because it tells us that there is the possibility of falling short of the grace of God. It tells us that there is the possibility of bitterness getting rooted on the inside of us and causing us trouble. It teaches us that there is the possibility of our life becoming defiled and not producing anything. Those are distinct possibilities. And that's why we have to understand things that are rooted within can block the harvest. See, don't let someone's foolishness block your harvest. You can't control what people may do to you or what they may say about you or how they treat you. But you can surely control your response. You can control what you do. You can control how you react. The Bible says Jesus was upon the cross. And they were mocking him and ridiculing him. And the Bible tells us that, you know, even before he was nailed to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, through the beating, through the trials, through all of those things leading up to the ultimate crucifixion, Jesus said that I could at this very moment, I could dispatch 10,000 legions of angels. Hallelujah. But that was not the will or plan or purpose of God. And that's why he was focused. He knew what he was. He knew what he was going to do. You know why he did it? Because he was about to reap a harvest. Consider this. For if a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. That was a reference to himself. Because he was about to sow his life. He was sowing it into death. And that's why the Bible says that because he sowed his life into death, the death of the cross, that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And then the writer of Hebrews in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and that he is now the captain of our salvation, and he is bringing many sons Listen, he's bringing many sons into glory. That's a harvest. That's a harvest. Like the old hymn that they used to sing years ago. I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of a harvest. Hallelujah. So I don't want anything to block the harvest of the Christ life. Don't let someone's foolishness block your harvest. Don't let bitterness. Don't carry anything. Don't be unforgiving. Don't let bitterness. The word bitterness is defined as harshness or embittered, resentful spirit. A hostile disposition.
Yes, Lord.
Hostile disposition. We live in a world where people are hostile. I mean, there's a lot of hostility because there's a lot of resentfulness in their spirit, bitterness on the inside of them. See, these things block people's harvest. That's why the Bible is telling us if we want to keep our spiritual life fresh, if we want to keep it on fire, if we want to keep it alive, if we want that vitality, that spiritual vitality, always look carefully, examine your life. That's why I believe in daily repentance every day. God, have I offended someone? Did I hurt someone with my words? God, was there any thought that I allowed to fester in my mind? Am I harboring any resentment or unforgiveness upon someone? Is there anything? Because I don't want anything, any of those things to get on the inside. Because what is rooted on the inside blocks the harvest. Harshness, embittered, resentful spirit, hostile disposition. Let me move on to the next thing. We're almost done. See, bitterness festers in those who are bound by sin. Those who are bound by sin. I love this story recorded in the book of Acts chapter 8. In the book of Acts chapter 8, man, you talk about some things that were going on. I mean, there was revival. There was revival. I mean, Philip, the evangelist, was preaching all over. Now, Saul had not gotten saved yet. He didn't have his encounter with Jesus yet. So Saul was persecuting the church. He hates Christians. You talk about a man whose harvest was blocked. His harvest was blocked because he was angry. He was an angry, bitter man until the day where the Bible says they heard a voice, but they saw no man. Hallelujah. He was struck down on the road to Damascus. They heard a voice, all of those traveling with him, but they saw no man. But he heard it, he saw it, because that was his appointed moment. And he's given us these through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's given us these verses many of these verses I've been sharing with you today. Because God had a harvest for that man. Hallelujah. Had a harvest for him. He didn't know it. He didn't realize it. He didn't understand it. So at this point, he's persecuting the church. He already had Stephen martyred for the faith, had him stoned to death. And the Bible says that he was making havoc of the church. He was breaking into people's houses. They were having house church. And he was dragging off men and women and committing them into prison. I mean, this is what's going on. But how many of you know you can't harness the power of the gospel? You can't harness it. I mean, miracles were still taking place. God, the church was worried about Saul, but God wasn't. Hello, somebody. They were scared, but God wasn't. I mean, Philip's preaching, and they are delivering those possessed with spirits. People that were paralyzed and lame were being healed. People were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. So then we have the story of the man called Simon. Simon the sorcerer. And we're about to see what Simon says. Because Simon had something to say. So he sees all these things that are happening. All these miracles that are taking place. See, this is the illustration of a fool. And the Bible says that Simon saw what was happening. So it says, when they came down, verse 15, they prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, how many of you know that's foolish? Amen. That's foolishness. Offered them money. But you see, this man had a problem. And he said, give me this power so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, your money perish with you. Because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Do you know what that is saying in verse 21? You don't have a harvest yet. There's no harvest for you. Your harvest is blocked. You have neither part nor portion. For your heart, here it is, your heart is not right in the sight of God. So Simon, the sorcerer, the occultician, needed a heart surgery. So Peter says, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are, look at this, you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Years ago when I was working in the beverage industry, had a bread man. I was always trying to minister to him because his wife left him for the milkman. All my stories are true. I was a beverage salesman for Coca-Cola. He was bunny bread guy. I don't know who the milk company was. But my sister, I always kid my my brother-in-law, and he's a great guy, and he just bought a brand new Corvette. And so I called him up and I said, yeah, what weekend can I get it? Oh man, I don't know about that. I said, what you know? Wait, you know what you mean? You don't know about that? I said, don't you believe in share? Bought a brand spanking new Corvette, but he used to be an ice cream man. I kind of joke with him, you know. My sister married the ice cream guy, but at least he wasn't married. He was single at the time. Amen. He don't work for the ice cream company anymore, But you know, always kind of joke with him about that. But this particular guy, you know, he was real bitter. I mean, that would do it to you, I guess. You know, that would do it to you. You know, because we have to get beyond that. We don't understand the things that happen in life. We can't control what other people do. And the Bible says right here that Simon was poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. The word iniquity, we have several words to describe the word sin. We have the word transgression. We have the word trespass. And here we have the word iniquity. And all of them are words to define different levels of sin. And in this instance, we have the word iniquity. And it's the Greek word anomia. It means lawlessness, disobedience, contempt. The condition, listen to this, the condition of someone without God. The negative influence in a person's soul. Negative influence. See, the things that happen in life, I know this is kind of a cliche, you know, it will either make you worse or it'll make you better. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Because things are going to happen in life. Amen. And we can't control that, but we can control what goes on the inside. Now, I don't know what happened to Simon. I don't know if his wife left him for the milkman, but something, I guarantee you, something happened to Simon the sorcerer for Peter to have this kind of insight and to say, you are poisoned. You are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And that's why Jesus told us that we have to forgive. And I was talking about on the cross. Jesus is on the cross and he's being ridiculed. He's being mocked. And in his dying breath, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen being stoned to death. In his dying breath, what did he say? He said, Lord, don't leave this sin to their charge. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's, my friend, that's how you reap a harvest. Bitterness festers in those bound by sin. But we reap a harvest by spiritual seed. Let me leave you with this one right here. Going back to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 19. Notice what God's word says. He talks about this list of works of the flesh. And these are the things that operate in people's lives on a daily basis. Daily basis. Listen to what this says in Galatians chapter 5. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. They're not going to preach this stuff on Christian television. Don't bring in money. Hello, somebody. Amen. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, it's all over our culture. It's all over our culture. It dominates our culture. And it puts these four things, this is a sexual sin category. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. See, when Jesus went about casting out unclean spirits, I believe they were demon spirits of sexual immorality. And I think we have a demon of sexual immorality over this nation. And it needs to be dealt with. Amen. It needs to be dealt with by prayer and fasting and believing God and preaching the gospel. And, you know, because it does come in a category all of its own. Then he shifts from that. Then he talks about these other things. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Oh, man. What would we do if we began to kind of talk a little bit about jealousies? Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. My friend, these are the people that are going to reap a spiritual harvest. Now think of the verse that we started with. Think of the verse we started with. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Amen. If he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Hallelujah.